And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, Caroline Rex Road in the house with you on this Tuesday morning.
Intern Caroline, I guess.
Intern Caroline.
Put it to work.
Might as well. Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right, yeah. The youngest here wanted to tag along, so claims to have a rant. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Rocks Road.
We will.
See, we got to get you a headset, Caroline, so you can hear the Scott Stapp saying butcher my name.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
Yeah.
I enjoy it every single time. Keezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning, fellas. Joe, thank you for the Starbucks. Much appreciated, my friend.
Yeah.
Long time ago, I remember being promised it, and I wanted to take you up on it this time. So thank you.
You mean thank you for the unnamed coffee shop. No free ads.
No free ads. Oh, right. Whatever. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's all right.
I mean, I could probably rant about them at times, but it's fine.
Could you now?
I'm drinking the coffee of the unnamed coffee shop, so it's fine. What is this, Caroline? What do you have here?
I have a gingerbread oatmeal chai.
Oh boy.
Gingerbread oatmeal chai.
That sounds
that's
good.
Just, yeah.
What'd you get?
Well, it's got about like 8,000 grams of sugar in it. I just got a, it's just a coffee. I was going to say the type of coffee, then we'd know what coffee shop it is, even though Nick's already blown it. It's Pike Place.
It's forgotten
cream.
Now. We're 2 minutes in.
Pike That's Place, good. Cream, one stevia.
That's good.
Yes.
That's
good. Yes.
We got a lot to get to on the program today. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into what will be a massive game for Tennessee coming up on Saturday against Vanderbilt. Obviously, big deal here in our city, so we'll get a lot into that today on the program. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Preds get smoked last night in New Jersey. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. We begin with the Tennessee Titans. More aftermath of Will Levis's third straight performance with pretty good football for the Titans on Sunday as they take down the Houston Texans. Brian Callahan addressing the media yesterday, and Joe, he brought up something that we kind of threw out there yesterday of how much of what we're seeing from Levis right now has to do with just a better comfort level between him and Levis and seeing what works for Levis, seeing what doesn't work for him. And Callahan addressed that at the press conference yesterday. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say.
Wild throws from the past kind of disappeared. They're very much back. What's changed that those kind of throws have reemerged?
I think there's a comfort level between Will and I in terms of the style of throws. I got a better feel for the things that he throws really well. Using the players the right way for us. You know, we've gotten better at putting those guys in better positions. And then Will's confidence to throw him. You know, we've gotten some great looks. We've gotten exactly what we'd hoped we would get on some of those long balls and just really well executed. You know, he's got a lot of confidence right now throwing the ball down the field. And he put a couple of really great throws, which they make him look easy sometimes, but those aren't necessarily easy throws that he made. And then he put them right on the money. So more of that we can do, the better. And, you know, if you can find a way to get 7-8 explosives in a game, you're going to put yourself in a pretty good spot.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday discussing Levis. And, you know, the first part of the answer there, he talks about, look, I just have more of an understanding, more of a comfort level of the type of throws that Levis is really good at. And that's kind of led to some changes that they've made offensively. So some of the things we threw out there yesterday, Joe, seem to be coming to fruition, which is more evidence that we were very smart on this program.
Yeah. Did he just say that because we were talking about it?
I think so.
He probably listened to us and made that comment.
Right. Yes.
Would you bring up real quick? Did you watch Vrabel last night?
I did not see most of it because I was doing Pret stuff. But
yeah,
I did see him talk about Urban Meyer.
So there, yeah, the Urban Meyer was funny there. But there's another part in there where it doesn't have Kaharski's question, but they came back from break and it was him responding to, I don't remember what the question was, but it was like, well, let me try to answer that after that very long and very terrible question. You remember that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Yeah, fantastic. So PK sort of got a cameo last night on the Vrabel cast. Vrabel, you know, I showed you, I texted him before. I'm like, yeah, what is this, the Mike Vrabel media tour to try to get a head coaching job?
Yeah.
I demanded it to be funny. It was not that funny. But it had some moments.
I did enjoy the Urban Meyer story of the – who are you? Do I know you? Yeah, I'm the head coach of the Titans. I've worked for you for 2 years also. So thank you.
Yeah, there's a huge, huge amount of love there from Vrabel for Urban Meyer. Huge fan of Urban. I mean, Urban gave him his break, man. Urban gave him his break.
And apparently he forgot about it.
But yeah. Now, things were going real well for Urban at that point with the Jags, as we all remember. Anyway, back to Levis. Yeah, I mean, look, we're seeing what should happen, you know. And not that Callahan didn't know his skill set, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot more subtlety than, like, short throws and long throws, you know. I mean, there's a lot of different throws in the NFL. And, I mean, obviously Levis can, quote, one of my favorite cliches, make all the throws. But, yeah, you got to find ways to get the ball downfield. It's just difficult to me with your personnel and your limitations in pass protection sometimes to get that done. But obviously they're figuring that out. And then you get a play like Chig, which I think, as you said yesterday, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a scheme play, and it's obviously a lot of run after the catch, but that's still a huge explosive that you get.
Well, and it makes you wonder, like, when you hear things like that from Callahan, what have you unlocked here? Like, what have you figured out? And look, you know, each week's going to be different. You know, I'm sure at some point here there's probably a quote-unquote bad game coming from Levis. Like, maybe not. Like, maybe he's going to roll through the rest of the season and he's just playing really well from here on out. I guess we'll see. So, you know, it's not like you expect perfection moving forward. But if Callahan and Levis are more on the same page in terms of what Levis is really good at and kind of highlighting some of those strengths, what does that mean for this offense as they move forward here? And, you know, quite frankly, it comes back to it, and we'll get more into this in the next segment. But what does it mean for the quarterback discussion, big picture, for the franchise? I mean, that's still priority one to figure out for the franchise as a whole moving forward. Like, if you're ever going to get to a spot where you're competing for a playoff spot again and trying to get yourself in the mix in the AFC, well, quarterback's going to have to be a big part of it. Like, you got to get that part figured out. So if it is something that Callahan has kind of unlocked here with Levis, what does that mean for the quarterback discussion overall? That to me is probably the most fascinating part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, look, there's obviously some things that are coming together. Coach, scheme, play calling, Ridley, Levis, and all that. I mean, to me, it's still, though, it's like still discovery mode for Callahan. Like, consistency is the hardest thing. Everybody talks about it in sports, but it's the hardest thing to have. And so, I mean, to me, I think in some ways he's just like us. Like, hey, let's see if he can do it again this week, you know? I mean, they're going to have plays in that will work. They're going to have scripted stuff, you know, that should work against different looks. I mean, a lot of this is pre-snap, too. I mean, that's a big part of this as well, right? You know, pre-snap recognition at the line, all that type of stuff. It always seemed like Levis has been, you know, a good student of the game and all that stuff. But, you know, the performance, the consistent performance, 3 in a row to some extent – but, you know, can you do 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, look, it's also fascinating because you look at the defense that they just played. And, you know, they gave up 8 sacks. Now, 7 of those came in the first half, only 1 in the second half. So, I guess some sort of adjustment made by the Titans to not get totally eviscerated in the backfield in the second half.
They're on pace for a record.
They were on pace for a heck of a day out there. But, I mean, on paper – Sunday was one of the best defenses that they're going to face moving forward. I mean, we talked about the schedule yesterday, right? I mean, you got Jacksonville coming up twice. Cincinnati's defense has been hot garbage all year. You got the Colts. Like, that was one of the biggest challenges on paper that were remaining for Will Levis and this offense, just in terms of the personnel that they're going up against. So now that you look at it, and look, Washington's a pretty good defense that they're going to play on Sunday. But beyond that, I think some opportunity here, if you have unlocked something with a quarterback, maybe to continue to build on that based on the quality of some of the defenses that they're getting ready to see.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the best pass-rushing personnel groups. Just between, you know, Autry, Hunter, Anderson, that's part of why people were so high on the Texans this year. You know, you have Stroud and his weapons, and then you have the pass rush, right, and Stingley. But, I mean, you know, that's – elite pass rushing personnel. Washington is pretty good too. Yeah, so I mean, they've had, you know, they've faced a lot of teams that that are good at that. But, yeah, then you get past that, and you should be able to, you know, protect better. But, I mean, I also think that this offensive line has demonstrated the ability to let average pass rushers look really good at times too. So probably worth keeping in mind there.
No doubt about it. Chef Ran on the YouTube chat. By the way, YouTube chat flowing yesterday. We appreciate it. Keep them coming on our YouTube feed. Chef Ran says, Levis is growing up. He hasn't arrived, but he's improving. It has been interesting, Joe, to watch some of the discussion on Titans Twitter about Will Levis. Some people who are out, maybe back in. Some people who were in, gloating about how right they were the whole time. It's been interesting to watch.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think it was early on, it might, you know, it's a little bit of an overreaction after 2 weeks to say he's just toast. And after all he did that wasn't good early, it's definitely early to gloat. I think it's definitely early to gloat, but I know people love to do that.
You want some PFF grades real quick from the offensive line that Glennon put out there?
Okay.
All right. J.C. Latham, 29.2.
He did get torched a couple times.
Skoronski, an 87.7.
Oh.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Brunskill, 44.4. Radins, a 72.8. And our boy, NPF, who had a nice pancake block out there, 29.6. Five pressures, three hurries, two sacks. Okay. Credited to NPF.
That's what you expect from NPF. Not what you expect from Latham. Apparently the guards are good. The guards are good. The tackles in center are bad, per PFF last game. Okay.
Apparently so.
Interesting.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan was asked yesterday about the future of the quarterback position and how Will Levis's recent play may factor into that. Gave an interesting answer. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan was asked yesterday about Levis, the way that he's played these past few weeks, and what that could mean for the quarterback position as a whole for the franchise moving forward. Had an interesting response. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday at his press conference.
The quarterback you've seen the last 3 weeks, if you get that guy, is that a long-term quarterback solution for this franchise?
Yeah, I hesitate to make any proclamations of anything like that, but I've just been really happy with the way that Will's progressed. He's played winning football from that position really over the last 3 weeks, and it's just like to see it continue. And I think there's some things for Will that he can do better. There's a couple of things, just even progression-wise for him, or getting his eyes to the right spot faster, to where he could play really well. You know, he played a really good football game. I think there's another level for him when it comes to finding a completion, taking less sacks. Some of those things were situational. I know one or two of them, we were sort of in field goal range, and I was very kind of strictly instructed him to, you know, make sure we're being smart with the football, and he's just trying to make sure we didn't take any major losses. So one or two of those, he just sort of runs up in the pocket. But, I think everything that he's done, the progression he's shown, the growth that he's shown is really encouraging, and I'd like to keep it going. And I think there's still, again, another level that we can get to and unlock from him. So
Callahan, you know, not going as far as to say, well, yeah, if he plays like this, this is our quarterback of the future there. Did say he was excited about the way that he's played. Also says he feels like there's more meat on the bone for Levis to go get as he continues to kind of evaluate his game here. What'd you make of that answer from Brian Callahan?
I think as usual, it's funny because first segment we were talking about the Vrabel, you know, Vrabel doing, you know, the Manning cast.
Media darling.
But yeah, it's like, have more fun, Vrabel. God. And again, this isn't like Callahan having more fun, but the contrast between those two in terms of presser and like stuff they'll tell you, it really is incredible, actually. I just think it was a typical, like, really, it came off to me just a revealing and also an honest answer from Callahan, which is, yeah, he's playing well. He can still get better. And it all makes sense, you know, because there are still times to me where it's like, you know, that boom, 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 and get it out that you see from, like, great quarterbacks. It still seems at times a little slow.
Yep.
And with this pass protection, that's a bad concoction, you know. But also, mean, look, I've taken him at his word on all this stuff. I think we can all see like why you would be excited about Will Levis as a prospect. And he was going into the year, and we all saw him play really poorly in more ways than just having those killer turnovers early. And now you see it starting to, it looks like it's starting to come together a little bit. And certainly I think we'd all agree that there's another level, of course. I mean, it's not like he's playing at the highest level you can play as a quarterback in this league. And that's the whole idea, is to get to the point where you're really good. That's how you entrench yourself and get that big contract. And I would not say right now that Will Levis is there at all, you know. But I think it's interesting. That's got to be encouraging. If you're a Titans fan who isn't out on Levis, who wants to see it work out, between his play and I think just listening to Callahan talk about it, like, you know, there's no question that there's progress being made right now.
Yeah, progress being made. And the question is, how much more progress will there be to make? I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of what Callahan was getting at, his answer there. Like, you know, it's been encouraging to watch Levis do what he's done the last 3 weeks. Now, how much more room is there for growth in his game? And can he continue to build on what he's kind of stacked together here these last 3 weeks? One texter on the text line says, it's too early to gloat on Levis. I'd say it was too early to bash on Levis the way the station has as well. Good Lord. This is from an unnamed texter.
Just the station? Text line. Just this station?
It was just us.
Yeah, we were on an island here bashing Levis. I wouldn't take this station as a conglomerate on anything. I'd say we've got a wide range of but I will say it seems like, you know, it's pretty consistent across the board that, I mean, look, Levis wasn't playing well, guys. I mean, it's like,
it's pretty hard to deny what we were seeing.
Yeah. You know, now, you know, I am in general with the idea of like, yeah, it's just, it was early to know for sure he's not going to work out. Right now, it's early to know for sure he will. I mean, you know, it's, and at some point, you know, everybody has like a ceiling and some limitations that you can't get over. And he still may have limitations that aren't going to, you know, let him get to where you want him to get. That's absolutely still a possibility. But Dustin from, yeah, you know, he's going to be a menace back there. At times he is, you know, at times he is a menace. I mean, there's a lot there, but it's just hard to know, you know, exactly like where does the incline end with him? And what does it mean if you actually do give him a clean pocket, you know? And he has that confidence and he has more weapons and all. I mean, it's hard to answer. But at least there is a light, to use a terrible cliche, at the end of the tunnel here, where it's like you could see it being possible.
Well, one thing that I, for one, am glad to see, even as somebody who's been out on Levis, like, it looked like it was trending for a while, Joe, where he was just going to get beat down and it was going to be over quick. And these last 3 weeks, I think if nothing else, there should be a pretty significant confidence boost in him moving forward here that, all right, I can play good football. I can put together a stretch of good games. And whether that means that he's going to long-term figure it out or not, at least this is not just some straight descent down into the toilet and we're sitting here on November the 26th and we're having just left and right draft talk because we all know that the quarterback is done at the end of the year. It felt like we were heading that way for a while. Yeah. And to his credit, he is making it more interesting coming down the stretch here. And at least I feel like there's got to be some level of confidence boost that he's had. And I'm interested to see what that translates into the rest of the way here. And again, you know, it's the NFL. Very rarely does it play out like we think it will in terms of the schedule. But he does have a pretty friendly schedule coming up in just in terms of some of the defenses they're about to be facing outside of Washington this Sunday.
Yeah. And he, like a lot of players at times, you know, I know this year, you know, I haven't lost any confidence. I mean, that's a typical response. But, of course, you must have lost some confidence, right? I mean, it's confidence is such a huge part of all this. The mental side of it is more important than the physical side. So it must have been shaken. It looked like it was, and now it looks like it's starting to surge again. So, you know, it's just like you just have to keep going with it. But yeah, like I mean, it's, he still threw a pick six.
Yeah.
Sunday. I mean, let's not forget that, right? I mean, You know, that's the type of mistake. It didn't cost them the game. It was a crazy game for them to win with all the things they did wrong, including that. But they could have. And then if that play loses them the game, it would be a different discussion. All the other things that happened afterward, now including the big play that he and Chig made. But still, you know, like the W or the L also really colors the discussion.
There's no doubt about that. And look, you know, I just rattled off the PFF offensive line grades in the last segment. I mean, there's no question that the tackle play in particular in that last game was not very good. But in that answer Brian Callahan just gave, I mean, you know, he didn't go like out of his way to call out Levis, but he talked about it. There's some sacks that are on him. Like that's a part of the progression that's going to have to take place here too, is knowing when to get rid of the ball, knowing when to live to fight another day, and getting out of there and getting rid of the ball quicker than he did. And, you know, it's hard to blame a ton of that on Levis. Like when you got some tackle play that was as bad as it's been pretty much all year long, particularly on the right side. But there's no doubt that, you know, Callahan said it. He's got to improve in that area, taking as many sacks as he is.
Yeah. I'll continue to be impressed with his courage and willingness to stand in.
Yes.
I mean, that's because if you – he does seem to – you know, he doesn't have – it just doesn't seem like he has that eyes in the back of the head thing like some – like for example, Bryce Young did in college. I don't know how that's going for Bryce Young now. I do know he's playing better. But if you have that and you're seeing ghosts, so to speak, and you're like looking – your eyes are coming down real quickly at that pass rush, like you have no chance. And that's not the problem with him. But – certainly he can get a lot better at navigating a pocket. Again, that's one of those things. How much better can you get at that? I would think that would be something you can improve more than like just like straight up accuracy throwing the ball. But you know, he's going to get plenty more practice. I'm sure of that. The rest of the season, he's going to get plenty more practice at navigating pass rush, because it will continue to be coming at him. But like you said, you know, there are some teams that maybe are going to have to pressure a little bit more to get there than some of the teams they've played.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more thoughts on Will Levis coming up next. Did not go well for the local professional hockey team last night. They also made a trade yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up as well. So keep your thoughts coming, 615-737-1025. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores taking on Arizona with a 3:30 p.m. tip-off. Pregame show beginning at 3:15. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. So taking your thoughts on Will Levis, 615-737-1025. Chris on the text line says, guys, I've heard all year long when Levis takes a sack, you guys say he's got to get rid of the ball. But when he's under pressure and throws a pick, you say he needs to take the sack. Which one is it? Just from Chris.
That's what I say. I say, take a sack. I mean, I will say that on the Bears one, rather than the miracle flip, I would definitely say take that sack. I don't know about in general. I mean, look, it's not binary. You don't have to do one or the other. You know, you can throw the ball away and not take a sack or throw a pick, right?
Yeah. Like, well, I think there's a play Sunday. It's a pretty good example. So he's rolling out to his left, and I think they showed the clock on this, and I think it was Sam Phelan who had a good question about this yesterday too. Like the time that Levis had to throw on Sunday, generally speaking, now there's some exceptions here or there, but generally speaking, it was pretty good. Like you're talking about like 3.5-4 seconds, which in the NFL, you know, decent amount of time. So one play in particular, he got sacked by Daniil Hunter. He started off drifting to the right, and then he rolled back to the left, drifted out of the pocket to the left, and was kind of scanning downfield, looking, and nothing was there, and he got sacked. And it took like 4 or 5 seconds. It's like, all right, like when you have time to run to the right and then run back to the left and get out of the pocket, might want to get rid of the ball there. Like there's, you know, every play is different. So Like, there are some plays where taking the sack is the best play. That's part of playing quarterback. Like, you got to know when that is and when it's not. And you're never going to get it right 100% of the time. But like, Callahan's talked about that. Like, there are some situations where you just have to know that taking a sack there is the better play. Now, he also said yesterday in his press conference, like, first and 10, pretty good opportunity to get rid of the ball. Like, if it's first and 10, do your best to not take a sack because that's going to ruin your entire drive when you do that. So, like, it's just figuring out when to take the sack, when to get rid of the ball, and when to, you know, when it's fourth down and five and the game's on the line, you got to do whatever you got to do to try to make a play. It's all about timing.
Yeah, and knowing where you're on the field, which Kelly talked about, you know, there was some, like, get it, do not take the sack here and get out of field goal range,
right,
stuff, you know, that's communicated. And, I mean, you know, look, there are times when the pass rush is on you so fast. Plenty of sacks of Will Levis this year have been any quarterbacks getting sacked on that play.
Yeah, you're not getting rid of the ball, nothing. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, like
you're just going down.
You look up and you're sacked. That's happened to him plenty. And with this protection, there's plenty of other quarterbacks. You know, like any quarterback in some of those plays is going to get sacked. Other than, like, I guess maybe Lamar Jackson, who, like, did you see the tier tart?
I did.
And I know it's tier tart, so it's like, okay, you figure a lot of quarterbacks could have eluded tier tart, but he was in so immediately. Like, I mean, I don't know who. I mean, maybe Kyler Murray, too. You know.
Did Vrabel offer his perspective on Tier Tart and or Christian Fulton or anybody else out there last night?
No, he did talk about Derrick Henry.
That's good.
But, yeah, no one. Those guys did not bring up the Tier Tart. They brought up, they played all the hits, you know, like, oh, yeah, the busting with the boys. You talked about, you know, cutting your dork off and all this stuff. And, you know, Vrabel enjoyed that.
But you got me mid-coffee sip there that almost ended poorly.
Sorry. But, yeah, they played the hits. They showed the Ohio State, you know, split the head open thing and stuff like that. But, you know, Vrabel, I don't know, man.
He's kind of psycho, huh?
Well, yeah, man. Oh yeah. Well, that was a long time ago. But, yeah, headbutting a player with your bare forehead and your player's helmet before the Michigan game. But the Kaharski thing, by the way, when they played his, you know, his, like, well, let me give you an answer after that long and terrible question. And then Vrabel was like, I think I did elaborate a little bit more than that. Like, oh yeah, you don't want those don't want those owners out there to think you're mean to the media, Vrabel.
That's right.
Anyway, on the Levis front, I did want to read this text.
Okay.
Unnamed texter. Says, weird how fast the narrative changes around here. One day we hit Levis, coaches the GM, one semi-decent day and a win, and it's all different. You can't take the talk serious due to the rapid about-face. Look, man, it'd be great if we could all just sort of be like, hey, I don't know, we'll see, let's wait and find out. But, I mean, it would be kind of boring for this job, wouldn't it? I mean,
it would.
There are people right now who are like, have been, Levis is the guy. Just let him go, and we'll figure it out. So, like, Dustin at Hopkinsville right now he's been waving the flag all year, and there are people right now who are still completely out on him, which is fine. I mean, I don't think we've done a complete about-face. He has played better. Is that not true? When you play like he has the last 3 weeks, does that not do something to shift the discussion? I mean, it does for me, but not completely. I'm still very much like, keep doing it.
Yeah.
That's really where I am. To keep doing it.
Well, again, it's, you know, we're reacting to information this season throughout the year. But with the whole picture still in mind, like, this is still about who is the quarterback for this team long term. Who is the quarterback for this team that's going to be a part of when the stadium opens, that can get this team back into contention soon. And is that Will Levis, or is that answer someone that's not here right now? Be that a free agent, be that somebody in the draft. Like, ultimately, that's what the question was about with this entire franchise heading into the year. And when we get done with this season, that's what the question is still going to be about. And I said it yesterday, as well as he's played the last 3 weeks, I don't really know if there's anything he can realistically do to where we get to the end of this regular season and you're like, yep, that's the guy. Like, I think with as bad as it was to begin the season, I think there's at least going to be a discussion heading into the offseason of, all right, what do you do if you're the Titans? Is it the draft? Is it a free agent? Do you roll back with Will Levis for another year and then try to make a determination after that? But, you know, the situation that we described before the year of, is it possible that the Titans would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Will Levis was their quarterback of the future moving forward after this season. That to me is not a possibility after this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's
unless
it's
he just goes nuts.
Yeah, very remote. I guess I'd call it a remote. You know, if he's you take out the pick six, you know, which is always a great. It's like someone runs for 150 yards. Yeah, but if you take out the 70-yard run, yeah, well, that's a big part of how people have big games. But if you take out the pick six and he played like that the other day and they win, they go on a huge winning streak and he's darn near, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league from here till the end. I mean, the conversation continues to shift. I think then you'd get to the point where you'd be pretty confident he's going to be the quarterback next year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But
long term answer of, yeah, he's our guy, no doubt about it. I just don't, that's going to be pretty hard to pull off for him this year.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I would agree. But even getting to the point I just mentioned would be, it'd be a pretty good turnaround.
It'd be
from
a big win.
How things were looking, you know. And you know, as Dennis brought up yesterday, maybe that the injury and sitting and watching, how much value has that had? How much has that helped him in all this? Probably some.
Well, you would have to think some, because it's been different since he's come back from the injury. And you know, maybe some of that is just as simple as like mentally resetting, right? I mean, you've talked about this in the beginning part of the year. It kind of felt like he was putting so much on himself. And, well, you know, we've talked about the contract. Like, these quarterbacks aren't stupid. They know if they play really well. I mean, you're talking about life-changing money, generational wealth, all those things that come your way if you're playing quarterback at a high level. That's got to be part of it. And, you know, we brought this up with Corey Curtis yesterday, and he talked about how he just looks calmer out there. And he asked Callahan about that, and Callahan's answer was basically like, yeah, it's a pretty good observation. Like, he's a lot calmer in some of these situations as compared to earlier this season, which I think is serving him pretty well.
Yeah. And there's probably a little bit of, like, screw it, you know. Again, you still have to be in control and calling up, but a little bit of like, well, what can
at this point,
what
I got to lose? Yeah,
yeah, you know. And yeah, it's the money, and it's also, I mean, look, he is an absolute, he is clearly a very intense competitor, right? And that's his whole life. Very few people get to this level if you're not a high level competitor, but I think he's a little extra than that. He's an extra competitor, right? Which can be good. But also at the quarterback position, sometimes it's like, yeah, don't go take that hit,
right?
You know, stuff like that. But if you can harness that and use it the right way, then it can be an asset for you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A rough night last night for the Nashville Predators, and they made a pretty significant roster move yesterday as well. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the college football playoff and the path in front of the Tennessee Volunteers as they face Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday with him. Looking forward to that discussion coming up here in about 13-ish minutes here on the program. The Nashville Predators last night, Joe, it did not go well. Coming off maybe their best game of the season on Saturday against Winnipeg. Certainly their most impressive win of the season. The job was to follow it up. Steven Stamkos said Saturday, kind of been the story of the year. You come out with an effort like they had on Saturday night against Winnipeg, and then they don't follow it up. So now it's time to follow it up. Well, the Predators did not follow it up. They got smoked last night, 5-2 by New Jersey. New Jersey, I think, ended up with 46 shots on goal. Predators had 21. Nico Hischier, a natural hat trick in the second period, and the Preds lose 5-2. They had a 5-minute power play in the third period. So Zach LaRue scores to make it 4-2, so cuts the lead down to 2 goals. He then draws a penalty on Timo Meier, took a cross check right to the face. It was a major penalty. You had 5 minutes of power play time for the Predators, and it's a major power play. So you could have scored as many times as you wanted to, and that power play was not going to expire. And then you got one shot on goal on the 5-minute power play. Just brutal on the power play last night for the Predators. And they find themselves now at 7-12-3. And it's getting harder and harder to envision them digging out of this from the simple standpoint of every time you feel like they take a positive step, the next game shows up and they immediately revert back to some of the bad habits and just the poor play that they've had. And look, I thought they took a major step forward 5-on-5 Saturday against Winnipeg. And then last night, Joe, they played maybe their worst 5-on-5 game of the entire season. And that is pretty discouraging if you're a Predators fan.
Yeah, and you quote tweeted the Stamkos comment after the big win over Winnipeg. You know, well, can't do, you know, you've got it. But basically, now let's not do what we've been doing, which is having a good performance and then following it up with a bad one. And, well, that's exactly what they did.
Yep. It was brutal to watch last night. And the thing is, like, you know, New Jersey's incredibly fast. They're, if not the fastest team in the league, certainly one of the fastest team. And, I mean, that gave Predators fits last night. They got caught flat-footed a couple times and just got beat on some plays through the neutral zone. And you had it 1-1 after the first period. You know, Philip Forsberg took basically the equivalent of like a fadeaway three.
Hail Mary.
And scored. So it wasn't necessarily like an overly impressive period for the Predators, but it's 1-1 on the road after one period of play, and then you just got totally dominated in the second and third. It was rough to see that last night. Meanwhile, Barry Trotz making another move yesterday. Philip Tomasino traded away from the Predators to the Pittsburgh Penguins, ends up with a fourth-round pick in 2027, which originally belonged to the New York Rangers, acquired by Pittsburgh. So Philip Tomasino out, the Tomasino era in Nashville over. He ends up with 159 games played in a Predators uniform. What did you make of that move and the return of a fourth-round pick in 2027 for the Nashville Predators?
I'm not a huge fan. I don't know. Look, I haven't been a huge Tomasino fan, but like I can also just see where he's going to like end up getting like having like a 25 goal season here
playing
soon.
With Crosby.
Yeah. And everybody's going to be like, "What in the world?" I don't know. I've never been a huge fan, but I get the complaints about, you know, maybe there was some progress, and is that really that great of a return? I don't know. What do you think of the return?
Well, I mean, the return to me kind of is what it is. Like, I don't really know what people expected to get for a guy who can't get on the ice and has not really done anything at the NHL level. Like, the response to that would be, well, he's a first-round pick. I was like, well,
that happens.
That
all
matters
the time.
To a certain point, and then once you get a little bit deeper into your career, it doesn't really matter what kind of pick you are.
There are first-round picks who can devalue to, like, getting nothing back. That
exactly.
Happens.
So, could they have gotten more for him? I don't know. Like, Barry Trotz talked to Alex Doherty from the Tennessean yesterday and basically said he's been trying to move Tomasino for a while. So it kind of feels like this is the best option that they eventually came to. It's a weird case to me because I'm with – like, generally speaking, I've not been overly impressed with Tomasino. Like, I think – some of the hand-wringing that goes on around here about him is a little much sometimes. Now, having said that, if you look at it, he has played a lot on the fourth line with guys that probably don't fit his skill set all that well, and he's never really gotten a long, extended look in the top six over the last couple of years here. So there's a couple things on that. Could he have gotten a raw deal here, and it's going to end up looking really bad for the Predators, and he goes somewhere else and looks good? Maybe. Like, I'm leaving the door open for that possibility. One thing I've always said in this discussion that I have to pay attention to, and I don't know exactly what it means, but it's got to mean something. It's two coaching staffs and two general managers that have looked at Philip Tomasino and basically have come to the same conclusion. And I realize, you know, Barry Trotz and David Poile are very close and they're very similar in the way that they think about the game. But John Hines and Andrew Brunette both have basically looked at Philip Tomasino and come to the same conclusion. I don't know that he can help us on a nightly basis. And I have to think that that means something.
Yeah.
Does it mean everything? I don't know. But it means something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the conclusion when they drafted him was different. But
exactly.
But, no, I look, I'm with you. I just, yes, he could have had better opportunities in theory. But I think he got some chances. And I just, you know, he underwhelmed. And so, again, this is absolutely setting up for him to, like, and look, I hope he does. I hope it clicks for him and he does well. Do you take this? But I'm not surprised that they were trying to move him. That doesn't surprise me that much. Do you take this as not like blaming him, but like, do you take this as them looking at him as some sort of like liability in terms of, you know, beyond just not being good enough on the ice?
Maybe. I mean, look, when Andrew Burnett at the end of last year basically called him out at the end of season press conference.
Big time.
To the point where, like, at that point, I was like, he's done. Like, he will not be here. So, like, the fact that it's ended up this way is not at all surprising to me. Like, it's not at all surprising to me that he's now gone and that they're moving on. We're going to find out if this was the right move. The bottom line is, whether it's Tomasino or elsewhere, they need to develop a forward at some point. You know, go back and look at some of their first-round picks over the course of the last decade or so. It ain't good. Like, there's a lot that's wrong. And a lot of those picks, most of them, the general manager who selected them is now gone. So Barry Trotz is kind of on a different slate here, and we'll see. You know, we're still probably a couple years away from figuring out if Igor Surin's any good or Matthew Wood's any good or Tanner Molodyke, all those guys. But they got to find a way to develop some forwards. That has always been a problem with this team, and it's got to get better, or you're just not going to have a chance. Like, you have to develop some forwards.
Like, at what point, if you continue to not, is it like there's just something in the guts of what they do that doesn't work?
Well,
you're probably past that point, except you have a new GM.
You got a new GM, but like if you continue to not be able to either select the right forwards or develop the right forwards, at some point you got to look at your scouting staff and be like, what exactly are you guys seeing? Because a lot of those guys are the same. Like, it's not all the same, but a lot of those guys have been around for a while, and it's like, it's getting close to put up or shut up time with the forward group. Like, you got to find a way to develop some of those players. Joey from Bellevue, by the way, on the text line says, thanks, Joe. I just grabbed a gingerbread oat milk chai from Starbucks.
That's what you have? Gingerbread oat milk?
Yeah.
Gross.
Setting the tone this morning here in
Nashville.
Gingerbread
oat milk chai. Who would even come up with that?
I don't know what, like, a couple of those words
I actually want to taste it. It sounds so ridiculous. Hold on. Did you hear that microphone?
I did.
Oh, my God, that's bad. Oh, what am I doing to my children?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us coming up next. We'll look ahead to a massive game between Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.